everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program, and together a big welcome as we now are into the afternoon of the final day of April. It's Friday, April 30th, 2021. We are on 1030, Tucson's trusted voice for news talk. Our call letters, KVOI, The Voice. We are in a year 11 already here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our website is buckmastershow.com. There you will find live streaming of the program, all of our podcasts, and a show archive dating back to our first show, the first Monday in January 2011. So that's almost of historic proportions in terms of the number of programs that we have available for you. The Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, we like to do a big shout out to some of our media friends who have been so cooperative over the years in helping to promote our program. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Dan Shear, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, the Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, and Foothills News and Desert Times. Friday Focus interview today is with Pima County Attorney Laura Conover. Laura recently completed her first 100 days in office as Pima County's top prosecutor. Ms. Conover easily won election last year, succeeding Barbara LaWall. Barbara retired after 24 years. Laura Conover is only the second defense attorney, and she's the first victims' rights attorney to head up the Pima County Attorney's Office, and we're delighted to have Laura back with us in studio. We've had her on the phone a couple of times, but it's good to see you eye to eye. How are you doing?
It's so nice to see you both, Bill and Tom, and to be back in the studio. It is better than the phone. It's lovely to be here. And we are having a really good time at the 100-day mark and really feeling positive about what's coming for the office, the new wave of attorneys coming in and getting hired, and the talent that we're seeing applying to the office. And so we're feeling really optimistic about our plans going forward.
It's an ambitious agenda that you set forth, and I think you plowed right into it. You've accomplished several of the things, or at least started the process toward those things. This is a culture change. After Barbara LaWall, 24 years, before Barbara, I remember her predecessor, Steve Neely. I came to town in 1988, and Neely was the Pima County attorney. So there's been kind of a culture that was associated with the Neely LaWall administration. You're going a different direction.
We certainly are. You know, I am a student of history, and I know well that even as recently as 1996, when Ms. LaWall first ran, she ran on tough on crime, and she ran on the sort of the harshest of the three platforms, and that's what carried the day at that time. Fast forward to 2020, and we see very clearly that there was an overwhelming historic voter turnout, and that the clear demand was for the new wave of criminal justice reform. And what that means is it means smart on crime instead of tough on crime. And it's a reframing of priorities so that we're using every precious taxpayer dollar to make the community as healthy and as safe as it can be.
The Attorney General, Mr. Brnovich, is full speed ahead on the death penalty. I just received this morning a news release from a group that is very much opposed to the death penalty. I'm sure you're familiar with them, the Death Penalty Alternatives from Arizona Group. And they're just urging Mr. Brnovich, please put the brakes on this, that there are alternatives to the death penalty. How do you figure into all of this? I know you've tried to perhaps slow down Mr. Brnovich, but it's full speed ahead, apparently.
So part of this seismic change here in Pima County is that all three candidates here for Pima County Attorney, my two opponents and myself, were all very clear that we would not be seeking the death penalty going forward here in Pima County. And that's what the voters voted for in both the primary and the general election, because there's a recognition here in Pima County that it's not a system that's successful here. It's not working for us. It's horrifically expensive. It's irrevocable if an error is made, as happens in the very human system that we have. So we're not seeking the death penalty here in Pima County. As a proponent, I think, of the death penalty, I'm sure that Attorney General Brnovich is frustrated that he's looking at two cases right now. One is 39 years old and the other is 42 years old. And fundamentally, I think we both agree, that's not justice. My answer to that is we don't seek the death penalty so that we don't find ourselves 42 years later still trying to close a case. He wants to go full speed ahead. We don't agree, but we don't agree professionally. And that's the way it goes. We don't agree. And we'll see if he listens to increasing feedback statewide, frankly, to put the brakes on.
There has been a change in attitude in America toward the death penalty.
Absolutely. The data is very clear that it's shifted now officially, certainly over the 50% mark, that a majority of Americans don't support this antiquated, barbaric, truly expensive system. And what I've seen now, just even in the first 4 months of this administration, is that prosecutors having to tell victims, if they are seeking the death penalty, you know, look, this is going to go decades, and it's going to force you to return to court over and over and over again through decades of appeals. And frankly, that is cold comfort for families. There is a bit more certainty in the severe first-degree murder cases when you take the death penalty and kind of the circus around it, when you take that off the table and you focus on the case at hand.
You say you're a student of history, and so am I. You know, going back to the kind of the whole history of putting people to death, even going back to the electric chair, it was let's make a splash, let's show how horrible it is as a deterrent. Is the death penalty a deterrent, in your opinion, Laura Conover?
It's absolutely not. And the data is clear on that. And we just covered it ourselves right now. If it takes 42 years, you know, so many defendants find themselves perishing in jail and set in prison. And sadly, the families of the victims as well, they don't get the closure because it takes so long. They're gone. You know, parents of children have long since passed by the time, you know, quote unquote, justice is achieved. The data is clear. It's not a deterrent. The states that seek death penalty have higher crime rates than the states that don't. And a big part of the problem, too, are the fundamental inequities in it. You know, it ends up being dependent on who the victim is or who the defendant is. And the trends make it so clear that people of color and in certain socioeconomic conditions find themselves at higher risk to be targeted for the death penalty. It's not a system that's equitable.
We're speaking with Pima County Attorney Laura Conover. If you would like to join the conversation, we welcome calls 790-2040. If you would like to pose a question or if you have a comment for Laura Conover, we'd be more than willing to take those calls right now. Going back to, we talked a little bit about the death penalty. You're also unveiling and have launched the state's first adult, restorative justice pathway. Some may see this as the folks that that would hear this, that you're going that path, saying you're soft on crime if you're going that way? How would you respond to those people? First of all, why don't you define for our listeners what this particular system is?
Absolutely. We are in the middle of working on it, or maybe I can even say we're past the halfway point. It's exciting. It would be the first in the state, but obviously with a nod of honor to our Native brothers and sisters who have been using therapeutic justice since the beginning of time. But many, many states across the nation have been sharing their programs with me where you select cases very carefully. The prosecutor's office has control over the cases that they select. And then the victim has full control over their participation. They can veto it and say, no, I don't want to go in. But if they choose to go in, which they do at high rates, they come in and the person who has committed the harm, committed the wrong, comes in and there's a circle of professional mediators. And the goal is to restore the victim back to as nearly whole as possible. The benefits are limitless. Victims find themselves getting restored with services, with restitution at a much faster rate than the system can otherwise give them. There's actual healing reported, you know, satisfaction is tracked. And obviously it allows a defendant to approach their case and their harm in a way that has also proven to fight against recidivism. In other words, we literally see people learning the lesson as a human being that we want them to learn, and we see them not repeating the behavior. We're intervening on the behavior so that they go back to being productive members of society as well.
What type of cases would we be talking about? What kind of criminal offenses would fit into this program?
The cases being looked at right now, and of course, you know, due to COVID, we have this whole backlog of cases we can look at. And we're looking at a lot of property-related things where people have suffered a loss, where neighborhoods have been harmed by behavior, where property has been destroyed or taken. And it's a chance to restore the person and at times families, neighborhoods, so that people understand the full ripple effects of the harm that they're engaged in. And we've had these plans in place for juveniles here in Pima County, wonderful work in Pima County, through the community justice boards and the teen court.
Has that been successful? Has that turned some lives around?
It absolutely has. And so it's, of course, time to just look at why can't we move this into the adult realm as well.
Bring it up a notch.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's take Melinda's call. She wants, I believe, to talk a little bit about domestic violence. Hello, Melinda. You're with Laura Conover.
Hi, Ms. Conover. We have been trying to make contact with the prosecutor's office with regard to mothers and some fathers who are domestic violence victims. They have active restraining orders against them, and the perpetrators do. And if, say, a mother misses a visitation through a family law court order, they're jailed and absolutely persecuted by the prosecutor's office. It's like there's an order for a domestic violence victim to take her child to the police station and to turn them over to the named identified DV perp. The child is terrified to get out of the car. The child weighs 90 pounds. The mother may weigh 100. And the child is terrified to go. But if the child doesn't go, the mother loses the child for parental interference, for custodial interference. And you have a lot of cases at your office right now that are like this, that are the very same issue. So I don't know what the priority is of the prosecutor's office.
All right. Laura, you heard Melinda's comment. Do you have a comment for her?
Melinda, thank you so much for calling in and for raising this issue. I sympathize with how complex the intersection is between family law and criminal law. It tears at the heartstrings because we need to keep our families and our children safe. And then to the extent possible, we also want to keep families unified if that's going to be healthy going forward. The situation you're describing, is very detailed and individual, as each case is. And what I can say, not knowing anything about this particular case, what I can say is that what we are moving forward with on our initial appearance team is that we seek custody. We seek a bond under the current bond system that we have in the state of Arizona only if there is an ongoing harm and threat to the community. The number one goal is public safety. If there's an ongoing harm or threat to the community, we hold someone. Otherwise, we need to be releasing.
All right, we're going to continue with our conversation with Laura Conover. But right now, Laura, I want to take a break right here to talk about my favorite bakery in town. Do you like bakery goods?
Yes, I have a terrible sweet tooth.
Well, so do I. And as I look through the glass right now, what does it look like Tom is doing? Tom is now eating a little bit of that Mona's Danish Bakery coffee cake that I brought in this morning.
I thought it would be an appropriate time to do so.
I thought so. You were waiting to take that bite until I started talking about Mona's. And we did bring in the almond. I talk about the almond filling.
A good choice, Bill. Yeah. It's delicious.
How fresh does that taste to you, Tom?
Well, probably not as fresh as when Steve assembled right. it.
Yes.
But it's very tasty.
It is. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. The Danish Kringle is kind of the cousin or the relative of what Tom is eating, and that's the Danish coffee cake, which I love. I like the Kringle as well, and as Tom has come up with that saying, the Kringle is light and tasty multi-layered pastry, and it actually fits for the coffee cake as well, that's for sure. All right, Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 each morning for breakfast. Website, monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back with Laura Conover and our Liveline number, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, 790-2040. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Laura Conover is with me. She is now into, she's just had her first 100 days, so I guess she's into the next 101st, 102nd, and on we go, as Laura at the helm of the Pima County Attorney's Office. I just want to double back a little bit on this this restorative justice. You explained about how the program works and what some of the goals are, but the knock on it would be, oh, it's soft on crime. So address that for me, please.
Everything we're doing is meant to be data driven. So when I hear the phrase soft on crime, it you just have to turn that to being smart on crime. In other words, it's a human criminal justice system, right? And if we continue to set policies based on our gut, you know, is this tough enough? Is this harsh enough? What it does is it distracts us from the real question, which is it working? Do we have data that shows that these tough on crime policies are working for victims, serving them and driving the crime rate down? And unfortunately, we've seen the opposite of that, which is why the whole nation has gone ahead of us towards reforms that are data driven. So it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of bravery. We're going to be launching this program hopefully this summer, and then you track the data for 6 months and you see, are victims getting served? Are they satisfied? Are they getting restored? Are they getting justice quicker than before? Are we moving cases better before? And then we track later in time, we track recidivism. Are people reoffending, or are we intervening and helping drive the crime rate down? There's also another great index that there's a retail index for small businesses, like for their losses. You know, that's another data point that we look at to make sure we're getting the outcomes that we need.
Let's talk a little bit about paper versus digital. Your office generates a tremendous amount of paper. During the break, your associate showed me a picture of the 15th floor, which is basically file after file of cases. And that, I'm told, is just what I was looking at is 1 year. One of the goals you have set is trying to bring Pima County's attorney's office into the 21st century by digitizing all of this paper. It's a huge undertaking.
Yes, it's time.
If that was just one floor, and Pima County's been around a long time, there must be a building full of paper of years back.
Yes, yes, and the goal will be to lift all that paper into the cloud, and it's going to be and to do it securely, right? Which is critical. It's certainly time. We are a heavy paper-driven office, and we really learned it the hard way when COVID hit, because we couldn't go remote last year, as I'm told. They were stuck in the building, which was
with all the paper.
Right, with all the paper, and it wasn't what we should have been doing for the health and safety of the workers. So 10 days in, I think it was 10, 12 days in, we had a terrible COVID outbreak right at the start in January. And we had no choice but to send everyone home and keep them safe. And that's when we were literally carting boxes of paper files in an assembly line out of the building to make sure that we stayed operational and delivering boxes of files over to court every morning. And then the empty boxes would be returned at night and we'd start all over again. So surely, my biggest task is to put an end to that. We've got to catch up to the rest of the state and the rest of the nation, the other county attorney's offices. And so we've pitched to go paperless. We're hoping to get that through next month. And we could end up with a go live date. This is the long game. We have to be patient. Sometime next fall.
Yeah.
It's going to take that amount of time to lift everything into the cloud and bring in the new system. But I think it's going to be so much more efficient. We're going to save a fortune in the long run. No more hundreds of thousands of dollars on toner, ink toner, and
hundreds of thousands of dollars on toner
year after year. It adds up. Toner, paper, all of it adds up. And also, critically, it's constitutionally driven. We're protecting evidence. We can't have evidence lost in the paper. We can't have that in the balance at risk.
Is the court system up and running now with jury trials in person? Well, I guess they weren't ever really doing trials remotely, were they?
No. The Justice Court was able to do quite a bit remotely, but no, we haven't had any jury trial. We didn't have any jury trials for over a year, and they are just starting it back up very, very cautiously, very carefully, with lots of health and safety protocols in place, a lot of guidance from our health department. Doctors Garcia and Cullen have been incredible. And so that we can get justice rolling again.
Does that become a problem, Laura Conover? Because if someone is accused, they are entitled to, a swift or speedy trial or whatever the terminology is. But I think everyone has that right as a citizen. So does that become a problem, like when you have a COVID year like this?
Oh, absolutely. It was a tremendous concern. And you're absolutely right, Bill. The right is, the wording is speedy trial.
What is
trial.
The wording?
Yeah,
there you
the
go.
Right to a speedy trial, right there in the Constitution. And it was an absolute concern for both defendants, especially if they're in custody, and for victims just languishing and getting that call every 30 days. The prosecutors, it was really hard on morale for prosecutors to have to make that call every 30 days and say, we just don't know. We have no idea when we can get your case to trial. I think we were extremely lucky that we didn't hit that absolute brick wall where someone was in custody and had to have a trial now in the middle of a pandemic. We were preparing for that. We were looking at strange remote locations where we might have a trial, but I'd like to say, and it's a real credit to the folks last year and again this year, and especially to my new criminal chief, Dan South, for the ways in which the system came together to identify people who should not be in jail, and released them on appropriate conditions, you know, who shouldn't probably have been in jail to begin with. And that allowed the jail to then space people out in ways that followed the CDC and kept COVID out of the jail all the way till about December.
How about the Chauvin verdict in the George Floyd case? Was that kind of a watershed moment in America's legal system, Laura Conover? Am I going exaggerating that, or
no,
is it it's
no,
pretty big deal, right?
I think that the sense of relief was palpable across the nation. But one thing that I read again and again that really resonated with me was that it's not, you know, unfortunately, it's not justice, because we can't bring him back. His family cannot get him back, but it is accountability. And that's what the public is so thirsty for, is accountability and transparency. This is a very real trauma that affected the entire nation all year, in ways that were shared across lines, in recognition that this kind of trauma has been going on for decades and decades and decades. If you're living in certain neighborhoods. Right. I mean, this isn't new for half of America. It's just that it was on camera. And I think it's a reckoning that's been long overdue, and a demand on the system to be accountable and transparent to the public so that we can start working on building trust again.
How about in your office? You've made some changes personnel wise. Are you building the team now that you want?
I am so fortunate with the senior leadership team. They are incredible. So I, you know, and a couple of letters to the editor recently, I really credited the whole team, because it takes a village. It's not, you know, I'd be lost if it were just me all by myself. The workload requires a tremendous talented senior leadership team, and that's exactly what we have.
How many are on your team? What's your overall head count of men and women in the Pima County Attorney's Office?
Oh, wow. Office-wide, we're well into the mid-300s, which is actually low. Between retention issues in the past, and between those who have chosen to depart and to not stay with us and not move the office forward on reform, we've had departures there too, and we wish them well as we build up a team, an office-wide team that's going to honor those demands of the community, that are going to be transparent and accountable, and at the end of the day, following the one guiding principle, which is do the right thing.
Is the market value for attorneys? Do they make more money? I don't know. I'm just looking at some kind of if someone's out of law school, why would they choose governmental work with you and your team, or do they make more in private practice? Just a few thoughts on that.
They make more in private practice, and they make more in any other county, I think, in the state.
Really?
Yes. I remember well my opponents talking about, you know, they were internal candidates and talking about how these were the lowest paid county attorneys in the state. So that's my number two heavy lift and it's the most important is pay. First in time comes the paperless, because it was due. Mm-hmm. The request was due on day 10.
But you're going to try to get more money for your people in this next upcoming budget.
Yes, we're working with the HR department to rectify these inequities, because this work for staff and attorneys and victim advocates is such hard work. They have to be paid appropriately for it. We can't train people and then just let them go to other counties. We need to rectify that. But I will say, Bill, that there is a calling to public service, and that helps. And so we're thrilled with the group that has applied to join us. for all the right reasons.
Final question. As a young person, were you play acting as an attorney? I play acted throwing the ball against the brick wall growing up in Wellman, Illinois, and announcing fictitious baseballs, play football games, whatever, like an announcer, Mr. Announcer. And here I've spent over 50 years behind or near a microphone. Were you, what'd you do? A little bit of play acting, like before a make-believe jury?
I love that story. Yeah, so it's strange, but my family will tell you that I declared at age six that it was age six that I wanted to be an attorney. And so, yes, you know, lots of mock trial type of activities and a lot of theater, because expressing your voice and making your communication clear is so critical.
That's right.
So yes, it was a lifetime of dreaming about getting to be an attorney. And I never in a million years thought I would get to be Pima County attorney. And
well, you are.
It humbles me every day.
All right, Laura Conover, thank you very much. Good luck. We'll have you back.
Bill, thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right, we're going to take a break right here in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. A quick update on the legislature coming up from Luigi Del Puerto of the Arizona Capital Times. Be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village. Let's go right now. Studios. I forgot to say studios. Made it almost sound like I'm out at Green Things, which I wouldn't mind being out at Green Things, but I am in the studio. Let's go now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Award-winning journalist Luigi Del Puerto is with us of the Arizona Capital Times. Luigi, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Doing real well. Were you surprised Arizona's not getting another congressional district?
I was surprised, just as everybody else was surprised. The expectation all along was that we were going to get an extra congressional seat. And the reason for that is that the Census Bureau's own estimates, like before this final announcement, show that our population has grown to 7.4 million people. And it turned out that their final count is less than 7.2 million. And so we missed out on getting this congressional seat. And it's a shock to a lot of people.
Most significant things so far at the legislature is?
Well, they passed the most significant thing in the legislature is getting this budget out. And right now, they're in the middle of negotiating a proposal that can get the buy-in of Republicans in both chambers, and of course, at some point, the governor as well. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest holdup. That's the reason why right now, we don't have the session wrapped up yet. Now, they want to get this session done in about 2 weeks or so. The budget is the one thing that's holding up. As soon as they get that one done, I think we'll see them, shut down this year's work in just a couple of days.
Will this session be remembered for what some would call election reform or election integrity, Luigi?
That certainly is the biggest theme or among the biggest themes of this session. We have several bills. Some of them are directly in response or many even would say in reaction to the 2020 elections. There's a proposal, for example, to clean up the permanent early voting list. There's a big controversy surrounding that. There are several other election-related measures. One of them that just got passed this week would give county election officials much less time to cure a mail-in ballot if it's missing a signature. You've seen, for example, the president of the Navajo Nation say that this will affect members of the nation in very negative ways. The likelihood is that the governor is going to sign proposals as well. Let's see.
Will there be a tax cut out of this legislative session?
Most definitely, yes. There will be a tax cut. We don't know how much the tax cut is going to be. We know it's going to be pretty significant, or at least we assume it's going to be pretty significant. I've heard estimates north of $1 billion. Among other things, they want a flat tax, individual income tax rate. They want to cap it 4.5% for the effective tax rate. There's a corporate income tax component as well. This will be, I think, one of the biggest tax cuts that we'll see in recent memory.
And that is because Arizona, I don't want to say is awash, but I'll say it anyway. The budget, the money picture is much more favorable due to all the online taxing that's going on and sales.
Online taxing sales. We didn't really close our economy. We've restricted some businesses, but for the most part, our economy has remained open, and it's now showing that our economy is very resilient. And what we have is, $1 billion in the rainy day fund, and more than $1 billion, or about $1 billion more, in what we would call surplus revenue, and that's the reason why the negotiation is going slower than it should be. There's too much money, and they don't quite know how to allocate those funds. And you'll see these fights, when we have extra money and when we don't have any.
And getting back to kind of one of the feeling, is there like is there more of a bipartisan effort this time, or has it gotten even worse? Nobody's working across the aisle. Just a quick impression from you.
Well, I think it's the same in almost every year. There are legislation that have bipartisan support. In fact, the Democrats have, at the very least, passed measures, more measures out of their own chambers, more so than in previous years. There is bipartisan work that's going on behind the scenes on issues such as the environment, even on water, for example. But there are always those big legislation, big proposals that divide the parties. And those are the ones that get covered by the media. And hence, you see, you may have this impression that it's pretty divided, you know, state capital. And to a certain extent, it is. But to another extent, it is not.
Final question for you, Luigi. Your prediction, and you've been through, this is, as they say, not your first rodeo. You've been around a while. You know these sessions and how they go. I've got the feeling, just watching this from afar, that we may be going into June. What's your prediction on wrap-up time?
Oh my God, Bill, I'm always wrong every single year, but I'll give you my prediction anyway. I think it's going to be right before Memorial Day. I think Memorial Weekend is a natural deadline for them to wrap up their work, and I know the leaders want to get out of here in 2 weeks, and so they're working toward that. So I think, you know, that's probably a kind of a good maybe prediction, but like I said, I'm always wrong every year, so let's see.
Thank you very much, Luigi Del Puerto, Arizona Capital Times. Thank you so much, Luigi.
Have a good one.
You too. Have a great weekend. All right, Buckmaster continues Weekend Watch. We've got Mr. Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson filling in this week for the vacationing Matt Russell. We'll be right back with Dan.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Weekend watch on The Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where the current temperature is 69 degrees. Love it. What are we looking at? Highs around mid-70s to around 80 degrees. So it is going to be a beautiful weekend in Silver City. Take that drive. You won't regret it. Three-hour drive east of Tucson. Lots to do. Perfect weekend to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, greening up after some recent rain, and just really kick back. For the things to do and great places to stay, please visit southwestnewmexico.org. Time to check in with Weekend Watch, and Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson is with us, filling in for longtime Weekend Watch host Matt Russell. How are you, Dan?
I'm okay. I'm going to start keeping track.
Here we go.
The Weekend Watch man.
There we go.
Might be me.
The Weekend Watch. The Weekend Watch meter is running, to say the least.
Yeah.
Dan, what's going on this weekend? Any tips for our listeners?
No, not really. No, I'm just kidding. plenty of tips. So, if you had to guess how old Barrio Brewing is turning tomorrow, what would you say, Bill?
25 years.
30.
Oh my goodness. 30. And I thought I was high.
I know, right? No, Barrio Brewing's been doing this as long as people have been functionally able to brew beer legally in this country. At 800 East 16th Street in the warehouse adjacent Armory Park neighborhood, they'll be having a celebration tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. It's going to be a beautiful day for it. 30 years of brewing for Arizona, live music from the regulars at 1 p.m. and then Santa Pachita at 4:20 p.m. There'll be a cake. I mean, that should be enough already.
Sure, cake and beer. Cake and beer.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, there you go.
Also, dollar off wings. So,
what else?
Heck of a time all the way around.
What else you got?
Well, you know what? One of my favorite places to eat in Phoenix, and I don't generally enjoy anything about Phoenix, that's not true either, but is F&B, which is really, truly a great restaurant. Their wine expert, Pavel, has opened up a winery in the Sonoyta area, which has had its sort of soft opening last weekend. They're open this weekend as well, Thursday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Los Milichix Vineyards. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. I have not had their wine yet, but everything Pavel touches turns to gold, and that guy knows wine as much as anybody in the state, so I would assume it's great. Just look it up online. It's Los Milics. They're in beautiful Elgin. It's a great time of year to go down there. It's really just perfect out in the Sonoyta Elgin area.
I could take one more.
Also, yeah, here we go. Crooked Tooth Brewing, speaking of breweries, they have a fun thing happening this Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m. They're having a night market. So, I mean, you can get some beers. They have their Sonoran Sour series. They bring the flights out on skateboards. Great time. They're also having a bunch of, contemporary artists that are doing stuff as well. So you can buy some original artwork, edible goods, succulents, whole thing happening out there at Crooked Tooth on 6th Street.
Dan Gibson, thank you very much from Visit Tucson. Have a great weekend, Dan.
You too.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music, that's the music you hear at the open. That music was composed by my German friend, Christophan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, making sure our podcasts are posted in a timely manner. Tom Fairbanks, thank you, Tom, engineering and producing our show, and the whole team at Bustos Media Tucson. All of us wishing you a great weekend.